Well, we got another hour to go here of open lines for you. We've been talking about some weird stories, but just about anything goes. And by the way, if you're in St. Louis, get up to our website at coasttocoastam.com. I've got a major event, a live event on stage June 18th in St. Louis. So tickets are just now going on sale. So take advantage of that. Go to coasttocoastam.com. You'll see the link at the highlight reel. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and we'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. And technology, by the way, I am still learning technology. I really am. I was probably a little late getting into the smartphone business. I had a flip phone. Was very late getting into the computer age, but I started learning that. But I'm still learning things like crazy. I am. For example, here in the cave in St. Louis, I've got a system where Tom and I can see each other via camera. It's really cool. But something has gone awry with one of my cameras, and it's picking up the video from the laptop computer, but the movable camera, the one I thought I was using, is not working at all. It's weird. It's like gone. So I got to figure out what's going on. If anybody knows how to do it, send me an email, and maybe you can talk me through this thing. It's a, you know, outside camera that you can attach to your computer, and it's supposed to give you the video, but it's not on, and I can't figure out how to turn it on. But he's seen me from the laptop camera that's built into the laptop. Weird. Okay, let's go to the phones. Whose turn? It is Bobby in Lubbock, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, George. It's nice to talk to you. Second time caller. Just want to let you know, a long story short, last summer I was out back and I happened to see a little like a V-shape flying through the sky, and there were two of them. I did a little research on it, and me working on the railroad, I realized that those are the secret planes that are running out of Altus. They're supposed to kind of cloak and, you know, be invisible, you know, like on Star Trek.
Yeah.
And so the next day, I told my son, hey, let's go look, just see if we can see them again. So my son came out there, and about the same time that evening, we saw the same flight pattern, and we saw them for just a few seconds. The next day, my nephew was over here staying the night with us. We saw him a third day. And I was like, well, that's, you know, I was really intrigued. And then on the fourth day, I was here by myself. And I was like, well, today's my day off. I'm going to go fire up the barbecue. And before I fired up the barbecue, I went out back. And I was kind of sky watching. And the temperature warmed up 3 to 4 or 5 degrees, you know, like when you're standing near a heater. And I looked up in the sky, and there was another V-shaped object the size of two aircraft carriers put together. And it looked like the tail ends of it looked like kind of like coal on fire, the kind of bright orange. And I saw it for like 3 to 5 seconds, and it was gone. And it just sounded like a giant 747 just flying over.
It must have been so awe-inspiring. Not scary, but just one of those "what is this" moments, wasn't it?
Oh yes, it definitely was, and you could tell how large it was. I was, man, this is massive. It makes the military planes look tiny, and it basically did the same thing. It appeared for a couple seconds and just cloaked out of the sky.
All right, Bobby, thanks for that story. Appreciate it. Next up, Kathy is in Jamestown, New York. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I have a different kind of a UFO type.
All right.
I got a crypto UFO.
A crypto UFO? Tell me about this.
Yes, I found it. I spotted this creature 3 times in a week in September. And it was 2 foot long with a 2 foot tail. And it had an anvil at the end of its tail. It had a pushed in nose and it had fox like ears. And I thought it was a bat, so I started researching, and there was no bats with a 2 foot tail with an anvil at their end. And your hair automatically stands up. It's like you automatically know it does not belong in this time and space.
Jeez. What do you think it was?
Well, I got a feeling it might be a new species of bat. Might be what caused all the gargoyle legends all those thousands of years.
And how big was it?
It was about 4 foot long altogether.
Well, yeah, that's kind of scary. Something, a creature like that, that would look like that, believe me. Another text. What do you got, Tom?
Sasha in Maine. When I look at the sky at night, the moon seems to follow me when I move around, but the stars and any other planets I see seem to stay still. Do you know why, George?
The moon moves. It's magnetic, and it's probably attached to you. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
April 1st. Ha, ha, ha. You know what? It's an illusion. It's an optical illusion.
Have you done this? I've seen it. It's weird. You look up, and it's like no matter where you walk, it follows
you. There. Well, it's just an illusion. It's up there. I mean, look, I had a call once from someone. It's a full moon night, all right? I'm in L.A. They're in Hawaii. And they said, is it sunny? Is it cloudy there? What do you got? I says, oh, no, it's not cloudy. And they said, well, if you could only see the moon, it's gorgeous. And I said, I can see the moon. It is gorgeous. And they just didn't understand that you actually see the moon wherever you are. It's there on your side.
I'm laughing because I thought you were going to say, remember what you told the lady about the stars?
She was in the hot tub.
You told her.
And the stars all burned out. Poor lady. She was really upset. Randy is with us, truck driving in Wyoming. Welcome to the show. Hi, Randy.
Oh, no. Well, it's not cloudy. Said,
Randy, you there?
If you could.
Well, we're going to have to let him go. Yeah, we've got a delay, folks. You got to keep your radio down. Jason in Texas. Hey, Jason, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Jace. Everything's fine.
Love your show. Listen to you every night.
Thank you.
I got a couple of quick stories for you. The first one, I know you mentioned it a little earlier about the kids with the handprints on the bumper.
Yeah.
We were in San Antonio, was it last year or the year before? And I don't know, I assume it's the same place. We went to this little train track where that supposedly happens, and we put baby powder on the rear bumper and everything. And the weird thing was, I was like, okay, you know, this isn't going to happen because it's at an incline. It inclines over the railroad track, but we put our vehicle in neutral, and it sat there for a second, and it started to move upwards and went over the railroad track, and then, you know, we came to a stop. So we got out, we went to the back and looked, and, you know, no handprints.
No handprints. But it is it's a weird feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, but a little while later, we checked it, and there were a couple little handprints on there. I don't know if it was my kids or what, but anyway. And then one more quick story for you. I don't know if you're familiar with Oak Alley Plantation in, I think it's Altria, Louisiana.
Yeah. Never been there, though.
Okay. Well, we went... I think it was 2008 or 2009, and there's supposedly, you know, a ghost, a lady in black that haunts that place, and you're not supposed to have any cameras or anything in there, but my wife is hard-headed and persistent, so we were with the tour, and we kind of fell back a little bit from the tour group, and there was a mirror that you're supposedly be able to see her in, and all the other people had gone up the stairs and gone. We were the only two in the room. And she snapped a quick picture of that mirror, and I kind of, you know, jerked her away. I was like, come on, we got to go. You know, we're going to get in trouble. Well, we didn't think anything of it. And 2 days later, we were looking through her phone at the pictures, and there was a figure in the mirror. It looked like a lady in, like, you know, that time period clothing.
Yep, with that kind of garb, sure.
Right, and it was just like a shadow, but she had no legs, and her hands looked like they were in a praying formation. And I just thought it was the weirdest thing.
We need a picture.
I can get one to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Send it to George at coasttocoastam.com, and a little permission to use it, if you could.
I will do that.
Okay, I'd love to see that. Let's go to first-time caller Jodine in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Jodine.
Hi, George.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on?
Well, I first started believing in things probably a few years ago when I was lying on my bed with my dog.
What happened?
She was sleeping, and I just bought a new iPhone, and I was busy texting. And then I was done, and I put my phone down, and my dog, she tapped my phone in her sleep, and I quickly grabbed it. I was afraid she might have ruined it or something, and anyways, I looked at it, and she tapped a text saying my grandma's name, and, you know, my grandma's passed away.
That is weird.
Yeah, and it was only about a few weeks later, I was playing with my phone again in the same spot, and I was fumbling because I was doing a really long text, and my phone fumbled in my hand. And I could hear some clicking noises, and I looked at my phone, and it was my grandma's name again.
Oh. See,
and that's
this
when
is a
I
message.
First started believing in everything.
Were you close to your grandmother?
Not really. She passed away when I was pretty young.
Well, she still wants to communicate with you.
Yeah. And then pretty much weird things happened to me, like, ever since, and it always happened on the 17th of the month.
Now you're a believer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I've got a little book of everything that happened.
Like a journal?
Yeah. And I was really upset one night. I've been hearing all these UFO stories. And I ended up being upset, and I talked to God, and I said, I really want to see a UFO. And ever since that night, I've seen about four.
See, be careful what you ask for.
Sometimes. Yeah.
You got to be careful. Thanks, Jardine. Cindy is truck driving in Florida. Hi, Cindy.
Hey.
What's going on? What are you hauling?
I'm hauling a FedEx freight.
Oh. The whole thing, the big trucks you're in.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you a story. You talk about non-believers. I live in Louisiana, and back when we were younger, we were all camping out, and there's a lake down there, and they always talk about there's a monster down there in that lake. Well, all of us was kind of drinking and stuff, and my brother, he didn't drink. And all of us decided we was going to go for a swim, and it just got real good and dark. Well, all of us went out there, and all these big bad men was out there talking about, oh, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. Well, my brother was out there underneath the water, and he had a stick, and he tapped their leg with that stick, and you can talk about some men that scattered. Everybody believed then.
I bet.
They wanted to kill him after that.
That's a great story. I love it. Hey, thanks. Gina's in Palm Springs, California. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hi, George. A few weeks ago, I heard a husband talking to you about his wife that had kind of a bug growing inside of her.
Yeah, skin. It was crazy. Know? Yeah.
And I think that maybe what I'm going to tell you may help. I was a little girl when I saw this happening. Was in Brazil. A man had this kind of trouble, and what they did was to get a piece of bacon, but not this thin bacon that we eat for breakfast. A piece of bacon when they killed the pig, you know, has sick and tied on the place that they saw a lump, and the bug attracted by the bacon would come out to eat the bacon, and then they got rid of it.
What did it look like?
Oh, I don't know, because I was scared and didn't pay much attention. to it.
I think having bugs in your body, that's horrible, isn't it?
Horrible. And that poor woman, I've been thinking of her all these days, wanting to have a chance to tell you, because this may help. Who knows? The doctors don't know. So it's worth trying, don't you think?
Thanks, Gina. Maybe they can catch them. Let's just hope she only has one instead of a whole bunch of them in her, huh?
My Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Horrible. Gina, thanks. You listen to our show a lot?
Oh, all the time, for years and years and years. I love it. I love your show. It's give us some knowledge that we don't dream of.
You have to come out to Joshua Tree the first weekend of June for our event.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yes, I heard you saying that, but I didn't get the date.
Well, it's the weekend of June 4th and 5th, right around there.
That Joshua Tree, yeah, I remember that.
And I'll talk more about it as we get close to that. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you so much, George. Let's
put a little bacon there, and maybe the bugs will come out of your body. Danny is in Mill Valley, California. Welcome to the show. Danny, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for the air.
Sure.
I want to give everyone the answer to all of our problems with an apolitical, non-religious answer in one sentence.
Okay.
One fact about reality that has the economic solution and the terrorism solution in it. And if that's not enough, George, I'm going to throw in the kitchen sink and solve social problems as well.
Well, let's go.
It's a do-it-yourself kit for creating macro-utopia. Okay, here we go. Guns, drugs, prostitution, immigration, and terrorism are all pulled, not pushed phenomena.
Explain.
So, in other words, so our current policies are just chasing our tails. We're chasing the reaction.
That is true. That is so true.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we can't, as long as we're just chasing our tails, you know, like most of our politicians are just based on, you know, do we want to vote for them because they say chase our tail really fast or chase our tails really, really fast, right? It doesn't help to go faster to chase your tail.
The faster you try to chase your tail, you still won't catch it.
Right. So I'll give you in two words, the answer to stopping terrorism, in two words, is to stop terrorizing.
I think you're right to a point, but what I have now believed in my life is that even if we weren't involved in other countries and, you know, people hated us forever, whatever ideological reason they did, there's a group out there that wants this to happen. They'll create terror. If you don't have real terrorists, they'll create terrorists to have terror so they can still fulfill their own agenda. And that's what bothers me about all this. You sometimes just don't know who to believe anymore. I mean, I really believe that there are terrorists out there doing whatever they're doing, but I also believe that there are fronts, people that have funded them, organizations and countries to create them. That I believe too. It's really frustrating. We'll be back with a little bit more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back on our Saturday program, David Schrader in. And then I'll be on Sunday night with emerging artists and some great guests for you. And back to the phones we go in our final segment. Jack is in Alberta, Canada. My daughter's out that way. Jack, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, George.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, I got a technical question for you, and then I want the reason for my call was to tell you about what I think was a really cool April Fool's joke.
Sure, go ahead.
Technical question. After I get to talk to Tom and all that stuff, and I get to listen to the show on over the telephone, my question is what station am I actually listening to? Because it's not the same station that I'm picking up over the radio.
Well, it should be. You should be hearing everything the same, except you're hearing, when you listen to your radio, a 40-second delay.
Right, but if I hear the newscast, it's not the newscast from the station that I'm actually hearing it over.
What, I don't know what you mean.
It's a different station that you guys put over.
Yeah, every station. Yeah. When you call us, you're just hearing us. You're not hearing your local station out there in the Alberta, Canada area.
Correct. Anyway, okay, never mind. We'll get on to the reason for my
okay.
call, buddy. Okay. This happened. I was actually just did the research, and it would have been in April 1st of 1974. A brand new radio station went on the air, and they were trying to do, you know, all sorts of stunts to get the, you know, the listenership up.
Sure.
Well, on April 1st, they actually set up a deal whereby they pretended had a phone line hooked up to have a station that was literally 12 hours drive away in the next province in Saskatchewan, and they actually swapped everything so that people listening to KG Country here in Alberta were actually listening to a Saskatchewan station, and the people in Saskatchewan were listening to the Red Deer station.
And everybody was confused.
Oh, it had them all confused. And people were phoning in saying, well, I don't give a hoot what the temperature is, you know. Here, I want to know what the temperature is here.
Yeah, I want my local station back.
Exactly. I probably wouldn't even be legal to do these days, I'm thinking.
No. Now the governments would crack down on something like that.
Real quick, but they ran it all the way, I don't know what time it started in the morning, but they ran it till noon, and I remember it very well, listening to it and just killing
it. Lots of strange April 1st stories, to be sure. Remember the one where I said we were changing the show to a cooking show called... it wasn't Toast to Toast. That was the name of the show. People went ballistic. I got emails saying, you're insane. What have you done? And it was April 1st, folks. Remember that. April 1st. You will believe anything we tell you because we will tell you the truth. Except for one day on April 1st, for just a little moment, I'm going to ask you always to just question what you hear. Now, some time ago, one of my dear friends, Morgus, popped in on the station, and it was unbeknownst to me. I want you to hear a little bit of that. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? That door there?
Hello?
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get you.
My,
you know, our telephones were all down through the hurricane, and of course we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, thank God. You know, we talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out and we didn't know what happened to you. So you're okay and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we didn't evacuate over there, because I'll tell you why. The city, you know, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on, you know, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, you know, everybody would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, no, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the city ice house, right? What happened to that?
Well, which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the ice house?
Well, absolutely. You know, this has been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. It used to have alligator skins and muskrats, you know. But back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South. And, of course, we got a hold of it in the 50s here. You were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. Watching you on television.
That's right, sir. Listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us... about 50 getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. Why I called you is, you don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with, you know, all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have, right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles, and get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover? Listen, I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. Electronically, George.
You teleport.
I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopley, get away from. Not yet. Boy, all right, Chopley. Let's do it for George here. Don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in your studio now, George.
The real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you do that? I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in a company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company jet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas, yes. And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate. Have your old friend from Detroit come here
gift.
45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible.
You
talk about surprise. What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys
I had no idea.
These guys did it, you know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this, and of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I do? Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the ice house, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George?
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well. He's been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
Many people are up to your level.
Intellectually.
As much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're at my intellect, you cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing
rocks. George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know, I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I mean, I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in a, well, what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities, just like you have telepathy or you have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me. And then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now, look, now don't get frightened now. You're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my life.
I want you to give me the best you've got, George. Okay? Swing back. You ready? One, two. Put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George... Oh, well, that sheet, I didn't hurt at all.
You have a handkerchief? Unbelievable.
Oh, God, this is embarrassing. Chopsley?
You assured me.
Yeah, what? Well,
this would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. This place, you know, you've got black walls, and you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
You okay?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I think my tooth, I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you?
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do, George, something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. This is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me, but I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to, you know, have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take
millions
place.
Of listeners.
Oh, listen, I
maybe
I
more
don't
than
hold
your
it again.
TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the
power. No,
don't
more.
Try.
No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. Turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living.
device transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, because I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Because I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.